Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first episode back of season four. I wanted to start off 2021 fresh. And this year, I decided I'm not playing small. I'm not playing little. Like, you have no idea how much nerve it took for me to, like, reach out to you, honestly, because right. I'm scared shitless of success. Really, that's my issue. But this year, I decided I'm not playing little. I'm reaching out to all the big players because I feel like there's such a bigger conversation I could be having if I'm diving into the minds of people who live and breathe, you know, plus size fashion. So
yes.
I decided I'm going to take my chance and you're going to be my first interview. That was my...
I appreciate being the first one.
So I just wanted you to tell the people a little bit about yourself because I know a little bit about you from Instagram, but I feel like there's a level of mystery that you keep going on there on Instagram, which I like, but you know.
I like keeping it mysterious because it keeps it going. It keeps a little spice to as everything goes on. But I'm JR. I'm a plus size, big and tall model. I'm signed to True Model Management. I also do photography. That's my full-time job outside of selling hats, which, you know, I have I have a whole lot of, it's an addiction now.
Hey,
but, honestly, it's for me, it's like a hat makes a statement, but the person makes that hat.
Facts. And you be killing those hats. If no one tells you, I'm telling you, you be,
I'd be trying, man.
That's execution. That's not trying. Them hats be dope. You know what my thing is? Williams Brothers hats, Gubin Brother hats, they are an investment piece.
Yes.
So I'm working my way up to those investments. I actually have one. I have two custom hats so far.
Mm-hmm.
That's to show you how far I've come in the game because I, you know, working hard, I can afford things, but
exactly.
So you work at a hat store, you are a photographer, you are a model. How do you juggle all three of those things?
Well, I feel like I work my photography around my day job, but it's like I work part-time at the hat shop. The hat shop is for me to network. The hat shop is for me to meet people that I can possibly work with. I've met a lot of people that have benefited me working there, but also like my days off, I'm always shooting. Like today I have off, but I'm taking today to myself to get back into the gym, get back into my daily routines for the new year. And being, modeling, it's like, there's a lot of things that I'm doing for myself more than the company is doing for me.
Oh, okay.
Like there's so... Like the only thing, like I love agency and I love what they do, how they help me, what they do for me. But it's like before COVID, I wasn't really getting anything before. Like my first real campaign with the agency was Nike.
We're going to talk about
it. And that took me.
We're going to talk.
Yeah. About yeah. And it's like that was my first campaign with the company, and it took me 2 years to get to where I am. But
right.
it took my personal hard work as a photographer and as a model for being a big and tall model, trying to represent us big and tall men and push myself to a limit where it's like, I know I can do it, but how can I do it?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just, you know, juggling everything. It's hard, but easy at the same time because it's like I'm not being bombarded with everything.
I got it. So it comes in layers. So one,
yes,
I can do photography today, modeling tomorrow. You know,
I work my schedule is dividing depending on what I'm doing that week.
Okay, so it doesn't become overwhelming because you're not doing it all at the same time.
Yes, correct.
Well, I wanted to know. So this year, I also part of playing big this year is that I'm not going to like really focus on. I really want to dive deeper. So this year, the focus that I'm doing is around mental health. So on the blog, you're going to see a lot of mental health posts, you know, mixed in with the fashion, because I feel like
yes.
there's a bigger issue here that I could be tackling to me. And so I've been working on how to do that. And I feel mental health was the thing. So along with that, you know, I wanted to dive a little deeper. So the mm-hmm. one of the posts I did this on Monday was talking about this story that I read about how men don't have a lot of, what's the word? Deep friendships. And how, well, in the article, she said she felt her, it was specific to her. Her boyfriend mm-hmm. didn't have a lot of close personal male friends. So through COVID, what happened is she became like his everything and it became overwhelming to her. And yes. then she went into the hospital. And when she went into the hospital from an emotional breakdown from dealing with his emotions and her mm-hmm. own emotions, he said to her, "I'm sorry, but I'm busy. I can't see you in the hospital."
Wow.
And that really made me feel like, all right, I got to do something about this. Mm-hmm. So I wrote the story from partly from that perspective, but partly from my own perspective, because I am a guy who has, I have lots of deep connections with my friends. So mm-hmm. one of the things that I wanted to know was like, being a guy, I notice in your photos, what I really love is how you play, like, it's like you really dance with the art of like subtleness, even being a big guy. Like mm-hmm. one of the photos you have is like this, I don't know what you want to call it, like a sheer, it's like this sheer, almost like a net that's coming over you.
Yeah.
It's part of the Teen Vogue thing. It's in
yeah, that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're talking about with me and Addy.
Yes. And I wanted to talk about that photo because I feel like that photo is like, it represents so much. It's like, it's like you guys are beautifully blended in this, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but I love it.
For me, that photo represented for me is like you don't need to be masculine to be feminine. Uh-huh. You don't need to be scared of how people pursue a man should be. Like I have femininity in my blood. That's who I am. But I was also raised by 9+ women. So growing up, like I was always capable of balancing both. So there's a lot of people that don't know how to. Everyone thinks that I need to have my pride on my shoulder. I need to be this strong, independent man because I can't be vulnerable. No, vulnerability makes you stronger. Vulnerability makes you the person you are today. And for me, it's like I didn't know that until about 3 years ago, because I used to be heavy set. I'm still heavy set now, but I used to be 400+ pounds, and I was very insecure. I was unhealthy. I was unhealthy as could be. And for me, it was like one day I woke up and I was like, look, so listen, I need to take care of myself, because if I don't take care of who I am, I'm not going to be able to be there for my kid. I'm not going to be able to chase my son down the street in the park and, you know, have a good time. And it's like I was almost at a state where I would have been catching a heart attack. Mm-hmm. That's how big I was.
Oh, wow.
And I was very insecure in being this big person. So when I lost all that weight, I was even secure being in the person I am now, not today, but back then. And when I just said to myself, I was like, listen, I need to push myself to be this better person. And then one day I just woke up and I'm like, listen, I'm not going to let any man, any person degrade me, because I want to be vulnerable. I want to talk about my feelings. I want to be able to change a view on another man, because I am the way I am. I'm going to be who I am. So that photo, it really opened, it like working with Addy is incredible. Like the Teen Vogue, he helped, like Addy's incredible. And I love Addy to death. And like, that's a brother to me. Like he helped me in a lot of ways of being a part of who I am today. And that photo was a representation. Like you can be masculine and you can be feminine and you can put that together.
And you guys did that so beautifully. Like, really, I love that photo. I love that photo. So I really wanted to talk about that photo, but I have another photo that I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I decided to create this segment in the podcast where it's like I pull an Instagram photo. So technically, mm-hmm. we're doing two in this episode because one kind of relates to something else and one
okay.
is a part of the segment. So it's a part of the segment where I pull an Instagram picture from your profile and then we talk about it. Because one thing people don't know is that being an influencer is hard, mm-hmm. okay? So yeah,
It is.
I was just listening. It's funny. I'm recording a podcast and right before my podcast started, I was listening to my friend's podcast, Miles. It's called Missing okay. Point. And he was interviewing another influencer. And he was saying that one of the things he hates is that people don't get respect for being an influencer because people think you just pull out your phone or pull out your camera, snap a photo and post. People don't exactly. know that sometimes you're taking 100 shots to find the perfect shot.
As a photographer, like for one session of a shoot, no matter if you're paying me for 1 hour or 5 hours, I'm going to continue shooting until I find that one photo. And being a photographer, I'm fucking picky.
Yes.
I'm so picky.
Yes.
And it's like, I'll degrade myself because of certain my hair is wrong or my jacket doesn't look right. And I got to the point where it's like, now I'm like, all right, I need to stop being so picky because there's a bunch of amazing photos, but I'm degrading myself.
Oh,
so let me just pick a photo and drop it.
Oh, you know what? So now you just spawned another question in my head. So I'm pretty sure you've done this where you've been ultra picky to yourself in the past, right? And now that you've lightened up on how you look at yourself, I guarantee you probably went back into your archives and found tons of great photos
that
dogged out before.
So what I started doing is I don't delete any photos on my computer or my hard drives for a year. And this is photography and personal stuff. I don't delete anything for a year because my creative vision always changes. So I always go, every 6 months I go back to the beginning of when I started doing photography and I'll edit old photos and I'll repost it. So it looks like it's brand new, but it's just my new aesthetic. I've posted a photo of me recently that was 3 years ago. You know, and no one knows it's now.
Right. And you know what I think of too? Sometimes when I look at my old work, I look at them and then I'm like, oh my God, I really didn't know how to edit back then. So now, now I know how to edit. I can make a photo that I thought was horrible actually look really good. So I think about things like that. So it's nice to know other photographers too as well. So
I always tell people like as a photographer, when you're first starting, like, your first 100,000 photos are shit. Your first 100,000 photos are nothing. Anything after that is where you realize, oh, this is my creative. This is my creativity. This is what I can do now. Now I know how to go back and look at these old photos and work my aesthetic to now.
That's it right there. Okay. Yeah. So this is the photo.
I love that photo, man. I love the photo.
All right, so I want you to tell me about how you got the pose, how, I don't know how much creative control you have in the show, how did the pose come about? How did the picture come about? How many of them did you have to take? Like, this photo is...
We took about 8 hours worth of video and photos. So this was a yoga outfit. It was very, this was like video and photo at the same time. So I was doing a lot of movement. So we had someone there teaching us how to do certain things, but I'm like, I'm a big guy. You're very small and petite. You don't know how my body works. I don't know how your body works. But let me figure out myself because this is the first time I'm doing it. So I just got in the groove and I just started doing like, I'm just thinking of, like in my head, I'm just thinking like Jackie Chan, old karate movies. I'm just thinking like, what can I do to make it different for being a big guy? Look, you know. Especially I'm doing a shoot for Nike. Like, it still didn't hit me yet. Like, I'm doing a shoot for Nike.
When did it hit you?
Like, it hit me literally, I think, about 2 weeks ago.
Whoa.
2 weeks ago.
But how long ago did you do this this shoot?
I did my shoot with Nike. I think it was September, October. I think October. And the photos is when I received the photos is what when it hit me. I'm like, oh shit, this is This is getting real. Like, I started seeing ads. People started sending me, like, they were receiving my photos in emails, sponsorship on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. And I'm just like, that's when it really sunk in. And like, I'm on my way to work one day, and this is when it really sunk in on my way to work. Because I received the photos, and on the train, I just start crying. Like, it was very overwhelming, but it was like, this is one of my top goals in life that I've always wanted to do since I was a kid. I'm a Nike person. 90% of my clothing, my sneakers, my aesthetics, everything is Nike.
Right.
So for me to shoot with a company that I looked up to was honestly incredible. It was an incredible feeling. And like, everyone asks me now, what's your goal now? I was like, I haven't created that yet.
That's a take your time. Soak in this first goal, because it took you this long to get here. You know, it's funny. That's how I look at goals, right? So like, when I accomplish a goal, I don't just jump into the next goal. For me, I let it soak in, because my goals usually are very long-term goals. Like, you know, like, for example, like, one of my goals was to get myself a mirrorless camera. So when I was able to afford this mirrorless
best camera in the world. Mirrorless is the way to go.
But I still have my mirrored camera. I just can't, like, I can't not get, like, I can't.
I sold mine last year. My very first camera I sold last year, and I was like, you gotta go. I need to buy a lens.
I just can't let it go. I just can't. It's my baby. It's like,
yeah.
I let my other DSLR go, the one that I traded up for this one. I did that go, but this one it's going to be in my archive. I just keep it
as a momentum. For me, it's like I have other things that I have from my old camera that I keep on display with all my other old vintage cameras and everything. And for me, it's like I had to let my camera go, because it's like I gave it to someone that was learning, that wanted to be a photographer, and like.
When I passed that down.
Yes. I wanted to, like, for me, it's like, you don't buy your first tarot cards. You give your first, someone gives you your first tarot cards to start reading. Uh-huh. It's the same thing how I felt about photography. I'm like, I want to pass this down to someone that's going to do something with it. And honestly, they're doing incredible. Like, for me to give someone a gift of something so small that they don't think, you know, for them it's big, for me it's small, but it's something that's going to be bigger for them in the near future.
Right. So, okay. So, you know, I never mind, you know, paying it forward. That's what I like to call it. Actually, it's funny. We're in 2021, and only because we're in COVID, I've been like kind of hesitant. But part of my brand, part of what I do is paying it forward. So, and photography, what I do, actually, it's funny. I need to work on becoming a B Corporation, actually, because more and more I'm noticing my brand is like charity for profit. Like, more and more I'm noticing that.
Yeah.
But so part of my photography, what I do is like every time I shoot someone, once they buy a 3-look package, I give away a 1-look package. That's kind of
okay.
Part of the give back. So I have so many free shoots to give away this year. So
that's dope.
Figure out how to get that done. But I love paying it forward. And can you imagine, like, you spawned someone else's dream because you gave them a camera that was like your bait. Oh my God, I love it. I love it. I love it. So I wanted to talk about, so you said you were, earlier in the interview, you said you were a bigger guy. I want to know, like, what was life growing up? Were you a bigger child too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. I've always been a big kid. I've always been a big guy. Like, I was, like I said, I was 400 plus pounds. But just being unhealthy really had to push me over the edge to be like, all right, now I need to take care of myself. Like, my doctor straight up told me, she was like, listen, if you eat another burger, you're going to die. And like, she told me straight up, she was very blunt. Like, and I appreciate, like, my doctor, I love this lady to death. And she's an Indian lady, and she's like, listen, if you eat another burger, you might just not make it. And I was like, listen, I can't afford that. I enjoy my, and you know, this is when I first started, this is right before I even got into modeling. This is before I was even a photographer. This was about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
And when I lost that weight, I was just trying to figure out how can I better myself in a positive sense, where it's like, it's not all about eating. Well, it is about eating, but it's like, I started going to the gym. I started working out. I started trying to better my eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't going to go straight from a burger to just a lettuce. You know,
right?
It's like, I'm not going to go from a burger just to have the lettuce. Like I started cutting down certain things, started cutting off bad, you know, I stopped drinking for like 2 years, and I just really needed to really settle down on life and really, really understand, like, this is what I need to do for myself, because if I don't do it, I'm not going to be here any longer.
I can't cut the drinking off.
I don't, not now, but back then I had to. You know what it is? I cut down soda. I cut down, you know, bread.
Well,
bread is my biggest addiction. I had to cut that off for a bit.
Can we? I think carbs is everyone's addiction. Because carbs are good. They taste good. And I know that you are Latinx. What's your background?
Well, I just did an ancestry, and I'm a whole lot of things. So I'm as far as I've known, I'm Puerto Rican Dominican, but I'm from Spain, dominant Spain, Puerto Rican. I'm Nigerian. I'm a whole bunch of different mixes.
Okay. Well, I am Jamaican. So just like in your culture, rice goes with everything.
Rice is like, I don't feel stuffed if I don't have rice.
Right. That's hot.
I don't like growing up, it was like, what am I going to eat? Say, oh, we're going to make spaghetti, but is it rice?
Right.
Like, are we going to have some rice? Like, I need rice to be filling. That's the only way I'm going to be filled if I have rice.
And trying to not eat rice. I'm also in the same boat with you. I'm trying to cut. I really just need to cut the carbs. I'm good. Well, I've been making a whole lifestyle journey with food for over a year now. So I'm pretty good at cutting out certain meats. And but my one thing is the carbs. I don't know. Not that I don't know. It's just really hard to do the substitution sometimes.
You shouldn't substitute it. I think you should just not do it as much in the week. If you're gonna have, say, 2 days, all right, I'm gonna have these 2 days where I'm gonna enjoy what I eat. Like right now, I'm drinking a smoothie. Like I started substituting certain things in my days, but I'm going to the gym every day, or at least 5 times out of the week. And substituting something with a shake, and, you know, there's granola in there. There's a whole bunch of stuff that can really benefit you. But it's like, I'm still not cutting out what I enjoy. I'm just limiting what I enjoy.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I get the point. I feel, okay, then in that case, and now that you put it that way, yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing, limiting.
Because
I still eat wings. I just don't eat wings.
Because I'm trying to enjoy life still. I'm not trying to suffer. Like, I enjoy being a big guy. I just want to cut down a little bit. That's it. You know? I never want to be the skinny person walking down the street. You know, I just want to be comfortable in who I am. I just want to eat what I want to eat. I don't want to be scared. Oh, that's, I have to eat the celery because you're eating these wings. No, I'm going to eat these wings, and we're going to share the celery.
No, I'm eating all the celery. I love celery. That's my thing. Okay, so growing up, you were a bigger kid. Now that you are an adult and you're, you know, where you are now being a model, like, if there was one, I mean, this feels cliche. It's a question a lot of people ask, but I really think what it does is help the next person who hears it kind of visualize it themselves, especially, you know, like a lot of my audience is, you know, around my age group. So that a lot of them
are
between, you know, 25 and 35-ish. So I think to myself, when I was 25, had I been able to hear positive reinforcements from guys that looked like me, how much difference that would have made in my life. So my question goes to those people. looking back on life, like, what is one thing you would tell your younger self about where you are now?
Keep your head up, because keep your head up, because there's more potential for yourself that you don't know you have yet.
Ooh. Come on, deep, methodical answers.
For me, it's like growing up, like I was the fat kid in school. I was the one being picked on. I was picked on majority of my childhood life. And for me, it's like now no one dares to pick on me, because it's like there's no need for it. Like, not my size has a presence, but at the same time, it's like, if you know me, I'm a teddy bear. But it's like, if you don't know me, you think I'm intimidated. You're intimidated by something. Like, that's not who I am. Like, I'm a lovable person. I'm a care. But that's, I feel like me growing up that way, being picked on, being still lovable, being as I was being picked on, it still made me who I am today. It still made me care for people no matter what. You picked on me because you have a bigger battle you're dealing with that you don't even know you're dealing with.
Dealing with, right? Or you don't know how to confront.
Exactly. So like growing up and seeing these people, like, oh, you're fat. Oh, but what are you dealing with? What is your issue that you're dealing with yourself or at home? I don't know. I'm not going to degrade you, because you're just now at how I see it, it's like you're degrading me because you're dealing with something bigger.
Mm-hmm. Facts. Facts.
While I'm just, while now I'm soaking in your words because it's just going to make me stronger. I'm not going to let your negative words. I'm going to let your negative words empower me, not degrade me.
All right. Well, I hope some young listener hears that and feels like the cliche saying is it does get better, and it really life really does get better after high school. I mean,
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It gets worse because you have to be an adult and pay bills, but it gets better because now you have the freedom to do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. It does get better. So being that you're an influencer, a model, a photographer, I really wanted to get into some of the popular things that people ask, because when I talk to signed models, I like for them to tell me their experience, because one of the biggest, I'm telling you, biggest, like my daily, at this point, I'm getting to the point where this question is coming in multiple times per day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
How did you become a signed model? Because everyone wants to know how to become a model. That is literally a famous question.
So the funny thing is, I was dating someone in the industry, and I went out to dinner with the owners of True. And when I was out at dinner, the owner goes, "Why are you signed with us?" I was like, "No, I'm not signed with us." Actually, I think I was at a party. I was at one of the True Model Management parties, and an agent and her came up to me, and they were like, "Oh, are you signed with us?" I was like, "No, I'm just here as a guest." And mind you, I've always been well dressed. I've always been a well dressed big guy, which is hard, but it's you know. Anyways, So they were like, "Are you signed with us?" They were like, "No." So I didn't get signed. They sent me to a Target go see. They sent me to a Target go see, and Target declined me. But a year later, they had sent me to another Target go see. And right before they sent me to that, they brought me to the office, and they were like, "Oh, we just need you to sign your paperwork to join us."
Oh, that's how it happened.
Yeah, that's how it happened.
See, people think it's some like, I fought my way through the fire. And like every time someone tells their story, I'm reminded it literally happened mostly by chance. It's like,
honestly, it was literally by luck. Like I wasn't trying to seek to be a model. I wasn't trying to do any of that. It was like, you have potential, let's use it.
And that's how it seems to happen a lot of the time. People just living their regular lives, and mm-hmm. an opportunity falls into their lap to be a model. And I feel like a lot of times, maybe it's, I don't know if this is the case for you, but I feel like a lot of times, maybe it's one of those things where maybe you wanted to do it, but it wasn't something that was like top of mind. I don't know if that's the case for you, but I find a lot of times it's like something you want to do, but it's like, And that'll never happen. So you just, you know, keep living your life. And then all of a sudden this opportunity presents itself to be a model. And you're like, you want, you talking to me?
Exactly. Like I wasn't even trying to be a model. Like this is when I first started doing photography. Like I was trying to be signed with them as a photographer, but I didn't have enough. This is 3 years ago. I didn't have enough of a profile to show them, like, this is what I do. This is how I do it. So like, then they signed me as a model. And for me, like my modeling really sinks in with my photography piece. For me as a photographer, like I'm always trying to find the next best posing, the next best style, the next best thing for men and women. And being a better photographer helps me be a better model. Correct. And that just sinks both in. So like me learning how to pose, me learning how to adjust my body, me learning how to just do different things that are out of the norm help me make people that have never done a photo shoot before feel comfortable.
Right. You know, I say that's actually something that's like one of my selling points in photography is like the one thing you can count on is that I know what it feels like to be in front of the camera just as much as it feels like to be behind the camera. So when I'm behind the camera, I can definitely assist you a little better because I know exactly what that feels like. Exactly. So definitely that's a great choice. So nice to know that you were just living your life and bam, model. So that was your process. Okay. So tell me, how did the Nike call come about? Like, or email, or how did that come to you?
So right before COVID, I was supposed to fly out to Portland for Nike.
Okay.
So they had reached out to me before the pandemic, and they looked for me. They hit up my agent, like, we want this model and we want that model. And that's how me and Desmond became one of the Nike big and tall models. And then they had canceled everything because of COVID. Uh-huh. They didn't want to trust everything flying. So literally the beginning of the summer, my agent was like, hey, they're thinking about recruiting you again for Nike. I was like, that's when I was hyped, but I was like, I can't get my hopes up being in the industry because it's like, yeah, we're locking in your date. And then 2 days later, like, forget it. We don't need them. And that's why I've learned not to get my hopes up in the industry because a lot of things in the industry are very, I'm going to say fake. Because people just want to say, they want to give you your card and then take it back for you. So when the call came back from Nike, they were like, hey, we're not going to fly you out because of COVID. But we're gonna shoot with you in New York, okay. And then they were just messing around for a couple, like for like 2 months, and then finally they were like, "All right, we're setting in the date. This is when it's happening," and that's when I shot with them.
I would assume, you know, putting on a shoot during COVID is probably like a long logistical process because you have to like. Yeah. I don't even know what that entails. My hair was
so be- I had to get tested. To get tested right before the shoot. So it was between 72 hours before the shoot, I had to get tested. And then because they made us wear a mask the whole time until we were on the screen.
Okay.
So it was very safe and everyone was, you know, very cautious and everyone was like very cool about it, but they took their measures and made sure we had our mask on
a lot of work to do. So that pulled off. So basically this is a reschedule of something you had prior to, and now
it
came about. Okay. Yeah. So how do they deliver the product? Like, is it like, did you just randomly see it in your feed or did they say, hey, Nike published the work. Here is the like.
So the thing is, I still have yet to see anything posted. Me personally, for some odd reason, I don't know what it is, but I physically haven't seen myself posted. This is everyone sending me stuff.
Oh, so everyone is seeing it and sending it to you.
Yes. Yes. So we're technically not even supposed to get photos, but our agent looked out for us and got us photos. So she was like, listen, you can't post anything till 2021. That's why I dropped it in the new year. So they were like, we have to make sure everything's out, and they have, Nike has to make sure everything's out and posted on their end before you can post anything. I was like, cool, I can patiently wait till 2021 to drop my Nike photos.
My phone is burning. It wants to
every day. I was just literally sitting. I was like, is it the new year yet? Are we there yet? And then. So what gave me the leeway of being able to post things, because people were saying I'm on the Nike app. They said I was on it before I knew I was on it. So when I went to look for it, I couldn't find it. So every day to this day, I'm still scrolling through Nike app to find my face. But everyone literally is seeing it on, people are looking on gaming websites and seeing myself in a little ad. Like it's popping up for everyone else but me. Same thing for Desmond, the other male model that shot with Nike.
Yeah.
Same thing with him. He hasn't physically saw it. Everyone else has been sending it to him.
Yeah, that's what I, because actually I was looking for it too. Like I spent 2 hours this morning looking for that photo.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it either. So I the first thing I was thinking of was like, maybe this is somewhere that I don't visit. That's what I was thinking, because I went directly to the website, but on the website it was very model photos, and I feel like those photos were campaign photos. They look like they might go on Times Square or something, so I figured that that's what they were. So I was looking for them in other places, and I couldn't find it. I said, all right, well, I'll just get it from the Instagram. You and me both. I'm looking for the photo now. I want to find it only because I can't find it. I'm sending you a link so you can see it.
Exactly. That's basically what everyone's been doing for me. So everyone's been sending it to me. Like, I haven't seen any of it yet.
Well, so what's your, I mean, I know you, like, in terms of, like, you know, being a model, you're still, you know, soaking in the sun from your, you know, accomplishment from working with Nike. But like on a photographer side, what is some of your 2021 goals?
Some of my 21, so back to what you were talking about with mental illness. So I've been doing, like my photography is based on body positivity, and I've been trying to work on self-harm and mental illness, but a lot of people don't feel comfortable reaching out to me on their traumas. And my thing is, like, when I find that person, I want to incorporate somehow to show an image of this person, but dealing with mental illness. You know, it's hard to really show that in a photo. So that's a little bit of my projects that I'm working on. But my main thing for 2021 is my studio.
Oh, you want to get a studio?
Yeah, I was supposed to have one in 2020, but with COVID, it messed me all up. So 2021, I'm definitely going to have my studio. I'm more of a natural light shooter, but I can always use a studio.
Listen, I'm only a natural light photographer. One thing that 2020 taught me was that I'm sticking to my goals. I don't care what nobody else is doing out here in these streets. I don't want to be no on-camera flash photographer. That ain't my thing. I want Jesus light. Yeah. That's what I call it, and that's what I
exactly. That's how I learned. For me, it's like I have my studio lighting because I have clients that want studio lighting. But for me personally, I've started using lighting this past year. Other than that, natural lighting is my lighting. I hate having to waste time on finding the light for the studio light, then finding the light on my camera, and then making sure the model is posed. And like, that's just too much time for me to take out for me to create. And like, I don't like having models feel bored. I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to feel strong. I want you to feel, you know, and I feel like my photography, I want to catch the vulnerability in someone.
Yep.
So for me, wasting time on all this other stuff, I'm not able to open up how your brain works to capture what I'm looking for.
Yep, that is exactly how I feel. I just want to turn on my camera. And when you do in-studio things, you don't, you don't have that freedom. You have to step up lighting. You have to figure out what ISO you're supposed to be at, what
Exactly.
I don't want to do none of that. I just want to shoot. Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting. So I am working on my own studio as well. However, mm-hmm. I'm working to find a studio that has a glass wall.
Same. We're here. We're here.
Because I want natural lighting.
I want natural lighting. If I can find an open glass, something all open, that'd be ideal. But, you know, I'll have to build that.
When you find it, let me know. Well, you.
I got you. Yeah.
New York.
Mm-hmm. I don't even like my goal is to start in New York, but I don't think I'm going to end in New York.
Got it.
New York is my home place. It's where I was born and raised. But for me, it's like, this is not, New York is like, as I get older, New York is not all I have because I have the whole world. So whatever I can get, like, you this know year, what? Like,
so I noticed you were in Miami. So did you get a little,
past week?
Did you get a little Miami bug? You like the nice warm weather in summer? Did you get
I was in 80 degree weather all week. 80 degree weather all week. And like for me, it's like there was a lot going on. Like Miami was like full capacity open. And I'm like, I've always kept my distance from people. Like I'm like this whole pandemic. I'm like, you don't got a mask on. Let me move over here. Mm-hmm. So like I was very safe, and I was very like, I had a beautiful Airbnb in the middle of like, it was in the middle of everything. So I was 15 minutes away from everywhere I had to go, but I was very cautious on where I was going because it was a lot of places were packed.
Yes, it was. I was also in Miami mm-hmm. for. Well, we kind of overlapped a day, but
yeah, you were the week before, right?
Yes, and very much was like, y'all is out here, mm-hmm. y'all out. Like people say, Atlanta's out, and I live in Atlanta too.
Yeah.
I'm also in another out ass city, but like,
went from one out ass city to one another.
Right. It just felt like they were more out than we was out because. The beach was packed.
Yeah. Like I went to Hollywood Beach, and honestly, it was a beautiful time in Miami, but it's like there was some places I was like, I'm not getting out the car. I'm just going to drive around. And thank God I had a rental because I was not Ubering it.
No.
Not in Miami.
Definitely no Ubers. No Ubers at this time for me. No Ubers at this time.
No.
But it feels like you got a little Miami bug because you the way you're talking about New York, it's like you're one mm-hmm. of the polar opposite. That's why I was just wondering that you get the Miami.
Well, bug. I've always been like, I have a love and hate relationship with New York. Like I love New York, but it's like it's just getting to the point where it's like everything's overpriced. Everything is just for no reason, you know.
It's been overpriced.
Yeah, you know, it's for me. It's like I love California. If it's a place I'm gonna go, it's probably Cali.
That's also overpriced. You're going from one overpriced to another overpriced. Yeah. By the way,
well, I look at the nice weather all year round, for the most part.
Ah, got it. Mm-hmm. So you're okay with the overpriced, but you don't want the overpriced with the snow.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. Because I can't move to California. By the way,
say it again.
I'm born and raised in New York, actually. I'm a New Yorker. I just, I don't have a love-hate relationship. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
And I left and I moved back.
Yeah, for me, it's like, I don't, I see myself opening up a studio in Cali, but again, I don't see myself physically living in Cali.
Oh, you want to be bi-coastal.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Listen, you can set the goals you want, work towards them, and obtain them. I mean, I'm pretty sure we'll see your work on some billboard somewhere because you are, you know, your work is absolutely amazing. By the way,
I don't know if I said
that to you, but your Shutter Vision work is really good.
Thank you.
Yes.
And it's funny because when I first started, like when I was trying to get signed to True as a model. I mean, as a photographer, they were like, oh, we need you to change your name. Change my photography name. like my photography page. And I was like, Shutter Vision is going to be something one day. And I told them straight like that before I was a model. I was like, my Shutter Vision is going to be something someday. I'm not changing my name.
Wait, what's wrong with Shutter Vision?
Because a lot of industry people, they want to have your name incorporated in your Instagram.
Oh, change your Instagram name.
Yeah, my Instagram name.
Oh, okay. I got it. Okay, all right. I was stuck there for a minute. I was like, wait, your business name?
Change my, no, yeah.
I was like, you must be cutting me a check early. You want me to do that? Yeah, okay. Now that makes it a little more sense to me. Okay. So as we, wrap this interview on up, one thing I definitely wanted to know is like, so you're working on, of course, building a studio and building, more clientele, obviously, which is going to afford you the opportunity to live this bi-coastal life. You said that you had a son. Do you plan on incorporating him into the business, or do you just want him to be his own person?
I want him to feel what he wants to do. I want him to grow to what he wants to do. I don't like growing up, oh, you're gonna be just like your dad. No, I'm gonna be just like me.
Right.
And I want him to be just like him. If he wants to be creative, I'm gonna teach him. If he doesn't want to be creative, I want him to figure out what he wants to figure out. It took me 28 years to figure out me being a photographer. I didn't know that. I worked security for 17 years of my life.
Really?
And that's all I thought, since I was 16. That's all I thought I was going to do for the rest of my life. And then one day I said, I literally quit working security and I just bought a cheap camera and I went with it. So for me, it's like you can't set your mind to doing one thing because you don't know what you're going to do in a couple of years.
Well, look at that. A lot of the story you said sounds like mine. So I was working at Kroger, bagging groceries. That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
One day I quit and I bought a camera. So very similar to that.
Yeah. I was. I got tired of working the nightlife. I got tired of being miserable. And that's the reason why, a lot of reasons why I lost a lot of weight, because I was eating horribly at night, working from 9 to 5 in the morning. I was eating horribly. I was out dealing with, drinking and doing all this other stuff. So it's like once I quit, that's when I started losing all my weight.
You changed your life. So
yeah,
guys, you hear it's possible. You work, you have an idea. In a vision, and sometimes the vision takes time, but in your case, in my case, and it's like a light bulb happens, and it's like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm out.
Exactly.
I want better. Something's got to be better. And I feel like sometimes people, a thing that I see in the community that we're in, people are so afraid to like go after their goals, and sometimes I have to remember that other people are afraid, because I have this thing where sometimes I'll tend to think people think like me, and I'm just like, you're unhappy, quit. Like, what are you doing here?
It's what it is, because people are comfortable, people become too comfortable with how their day-to-day is. So it's like when that change happens, they're like, oh shit, what do I do now? No, understand why you need that change and understand how much more you can grow from it. And comfortability is not where you should be. It should be something that you're always going to chase your grind. Your grind is always going to chase you. You keep moving, you keep changing. Why be the same person? Better that same person.
I agree. I agree 100,000%. I'm super excited to see where Shutter Vision takes us. Where
same,
doped. How do I say your Instagram? It's Doped Inked Up Official.
Is Doped in Ink Official?
Doped. Almost like dipped in ink, but doped in ink.
Yes, got doped it. In ink.
Never would have got that. So glad
you. I'm pretty much covered in tattoos, so that's why it's Doped in Ink.
The more you know, people. Well, thank you. First of all, thanks so much. JR, for agreeing to be my first podcast of episode of season 4.
It's been a pleasure. This is my first actual podcast.
Shut up.
Yeah, it was my first heckling interview. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's my first one ever.
Well, there's going to be many more to come because people absolutely want to know much more about you and your where you come from, what you where you're going, what you have to offer, what you did. So I'm excited to see your future while yes. I watch my own future because, you know, I'm trying to grow too. So this
absolutely. Is gonna we're gonna grow together.
That's what I'm talking about.
Grow together.
Well, thank you so much again. And
absolutely.
Until next time, people.